went on with him when he lost his health, when he lost his family, when he lost all of his property, and yet to say, I trust in the Lord. Or we think of St. Paul with his thorn in the flesh and what a test that was for him and how he prayed that it would be taken away. And yet the Lord to say, my grace is sufficient for you. Or as we listen to the Old Testament reading, God calling on Abraham to take his son, his beloved son, to go to Mount Moriah and to offer him up there as a sacrifice. What a test of faith, huh? And Abraham was willing to do it. In fact, he had bound him up, he had put him on the altar, he had raised the knife, and then to hear the angel of the Lord say, stop. And so he had passed the test, not necessarily a test for God to know his faith, but for Abraham to know his faith. And so for God even testing us, that we can know that we can trust in the Lord no matter what comes our way. A new ship, no matter how well it's built, needs to be tested before it goes on its long journey to make sure that it can go on that journey safely. And so in effect, our spiritual faith being tested to know that we can go on the sojourn of our spiritual life following the Lord. Or the wind blowing the trees back and forth, really testing them out, but also kind of twisting the tree so that the soil, so that the rocks can be moved, so that the roots can go down deeper into the soil for the good of the tree. And so the God testing us, so that our spiritual roots can go down deeper into God's word, go down deeper into Jesus Christ. But for this petition, Jesus is really talking about, lead us not into temptation, the temptations that come from that unholy three, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Not to draw us closer to God, but really to draw us away from the Lord. And so that we pray that the Lord may strengthen us. We pray to the Lord, recognizing that Satan's temptations are all over the place. And certainly, as we heard in the gospel reading, so brazen that even he tempt Jesus. And not just this one time when he's in the wilderness, but throughout his ministry and even as he's on the cross. So brazen that he would tempt Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when everything was perfect. So who of us to imagine that he's not going to be tempting us also to lead us astray? During World War II, a number of men were parachuted into North Africa, and two of those men kept a diary. And they talked about when they ran out of water, they began looking around, they were out in the desert, and in the distance they saw some trees and a pool of water, and they walked over to it, and as they got closer they discovered it was a mirage. Well, they looked a little further and they saw another one over there and walked to that another mirage, and so it happened, and they kept on in effect being further and further away from help, from hope, from the base camp. And so it is with Satan and his temptations to keep on pulling us away further and further from the safety that we have with our God. Falling away from the Lord. You know, it's like running downhill. It's a lot easier running downhill than it is on level ground. But we discover that as we keep on running, we go faster and faster, and pretty soon we can't stop. And so with the temptations, as they come, as we kind of play around with them, as we give in to them a little bit. Now, where Jesus said, "Begone, Satan," sometimes maybe we have the feeling of, just get behind me, Satan. Maybe nudge me a little bit. Push me a little closer to that temptation. Or like trying to rowboat near Niagara Falls. And you look at all the beauty around, but then the closer you get to the falls, and all of a sudden, impossible to fight against the current down to the destruction. And so Satan, in his temptations, no matter what it may be, and it's certainly a different temptation for you than for me, but in so many different areas, it looks so inviting, so enticing, so appealing, so all right this time. And so we're ready to give in. Temptation is real. You know, the temptations that Jesus faced, they were real. But Jesus stood up to them, and so we keep turning to him, because in his defeating Satan, he won the victory, but he also shares that victory with all others who believe in him. What did he say? It is written. He kept going to the Word of God. And so how important it is for us to keep on learning that word, reading that word, having it in our heart, having it in our memory, so that we too can say, "Begone, Satan." As Martin Luther says in the Reformation hymn, one little word can fell him, can cut him down. And the interesting thing is that it is written in the Greek is one word, gegraptai. The Word of God is the one weapon that Satan cannot stand up against. We're familiar with the story of David and Goliath. Goliath, the giant of the Philistines. He would come and laugh at the children of Israel. He would curse them and curse their God. He thought, and seemingly everybody else did too, that he was invincible. Until the shepherd boy came along with his sling and a stone and laid him out on the ground. And so Satan may seem like he's invincible to us, and yet with the spiritual stone of God's word, that we can say, "Begone, Satan," to know what it says, "It is written." As we pray this prayer, it's important that we pray it with sincerity, with meaning. Lead us not into temptation, so that if I know that if I go to this particular place or get into that situation, I'm going to be truly led into temptation, what should I do? Avoid it. If I know that certain companions are such that they're going to entice me to do things that I know are not right and in accordance with God's will, to avoid them. That we don't go to places where we can't take Jesus with us. That we can't be enjoying the company of those who don't want Jesus as part of their company. Temptations keep coming. We face them every day. But as Martin Luther has said, you know, we can't keep the birds from flying over the head of us, but We can keep them from building a nest in our hair. And so with the temptations, to recognize they're going to come, but we don't have to give in to them. We can't do it on our own. You know, Peter tried that. How did he end up? Denied Jesus not once, twice, but three times. And so the call for us to keep on with our Lord, with his word, but also that we turn to him in prayer, praying for the strength to say no, to stay away from where I shouldn't be. You're probably familiar with the painting of a young knight who was going to be going through a dark forest. There were lots of dangers in that forest, but in the painting, the young knight has taken off his helmet. He's knelt, folded his hands in prayer, and the title of the painting is, "Into Your Hands, O Lord." And so the picture for us, that as we face each day, in effect, that we humbly kneel before the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to place this day into your hands. I know I'm going to be facing troubling things. I'm going to be facing temptations, but I turn to you for strength, for help." The truth is, we've all given in. We sin every day. But the good news is that we also have a Savior who died to pay for all those sins. And so we go to the foot of the cross, recognizing the blood of the Lamb of God that washes away our sins, that God offers complete forgiveness. And so there is no sin that is too great that God can't forgive it. There's no temptation that is too great that God can't or that God won't help us through it. I invite you to turn to the bulletin again as we'll read through from the Catechism the explanation.